Oh, here we go. Okay, well, it's been an interesting day so far, all the way around.
It might get even more
interesting. We can tell some more tales, I guess, on each other and about getting old and all that good stuff. But you know what has transpired has been to me very discouraging. I was hoping that we would have a little bit of hope and a little bit of glimmer of light, but that's been taken away, I think. So we have to just hold on and do what we can do. So what I'd like to talk about this afternoon is briefly, as I have 5 minutes left. We need, especially the older we get, we need things that motivate us, things that keep us direction driven. And what motivates you? What motivates you to get up each week and come to church? What motivates you? My wife is sleeping in now several days a week now, and she loves that because she is semi going on retirement. But what motivates you to get up and go and get on about the day? Especially as we are, some of us have severe trials, sickness, we're getting older, emotional trials, mental problems, certainly with many of our young people as well, financial problems. So what motivates us to keep going? What motivates us to keep the faith? What motivates us as we see things happening in the church? Problems. They don't say Satan is not letting up. They're keeping up. What motivates us to keep on going? To have vision. To really want to become more godlike and more like Jesus Christ. What would that be worth to you spiritually? We're in hard times, and I think times are going to get much more difficult. Centuries ago, there was a servant to God that had vision, and he was able to see beyond the immediate life. This inspired him so greatly that he even tried to worship the angel that gave him this vision. It gave him a vision that he desired and certainly was able to see the future in part. A vision that kept him going, that kept him motivated. And that vision he was able to see was the future, in part. And I say in part because he, as we, don't see it all and we don't understand it all. But he was able to see something, and we'll go to Revelation 21 and 22 in a minute. But Abraham was able to see, he was called the father of the faithful. A vision that, he was getting older. God told him to get up and leave, and he did. Because Abraham saw this vision. And so many times, we just observed the Feast of Tabernacles last great day. And so many times that we look at the 1,000-year period, and that motivates us. I know we've got a lot of work to do as we go into the 1,000-year period. A lot of hardships to deal with, a lot of people to work with, and to be able to deal with those people. But as we get on into the millennium and things begin to settle down, it's one of vision, one of hope, that there will be peace, that there will be harmony. And Abraham was able to see that. And he was able to see what lies ahead. So he was able to take that journey when God told him to get up and move. So what motivated Abraham was he was able to see the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what motivates us. There's a lot that we have to go through when we think about the 1,000-year period, the kingdom of God, the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a lot involved there. There's a lot going to be happening during that piece of time, period of time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And I'll just go through this outline briefly. Abraham knew at Christ's return that he would inherit the kingdom of God. He would be free from all these disappointments in this physical life. Emotional, and certainly we go through those things. It's very emotional what has happened. And very emotional to my wife and our daughters that, you know, they prayed fervently for a man that had morals to be elected. And they thought, and they just almost knew and had faith in God that he would be elected. That didn't happen. So it was very disappointing. So we deal with these emotional, mental, and in many cases, they are stages of bondage that we go through. And in, you know, we hoped that things could turn around, but we may be in for harder things. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's begin in verse 50 through 54. Of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now, thus I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So he's showing us something here that we look forward to, that, you know, we must go through these things for reasons. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Certainly, that is our hope, that we can see this heavenly Jerusalem. The reason that we must go on, no matter what happens in our lives, we experience certain things, and that's for reason that God gives, that we have to go through these things. And that's our hope, the reason we must go on. It says, we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. So we have to be patient. Patty, patient. We have to be doing God's will, striving to the best of our ability, and we'll receive eternal life. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and thus mortal put on immortality. So we put it on as a garment, as a way of life. And verse 54, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory, never again to regain power. So there is coming a time that we will see peace on this earth. I hope in my lifetime. We don't know that. 2 Corinthians 5, just over a few pages, and I'll not make a great deal of comment on some of these due to time. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 1. For we know that after our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So we need to understand that. That's our goal, that's our vision, that we look forward to. And all that is in this life. And, you know, Ron Dott was talking about the wealth that we do have. I'm sorry, that wealth is gone. And we will pay for it, and our children will pay for that. And verse 2, for in this we groan and earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. It's talking about spiritually naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, earthly tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon this mortality might be swallowed up in this life. So we can see, and you know, we were a rich nation, as one was talking about at one time, but through our ignorance, our leadership, our wealth has been given away and thrown away. And it's certainly so sad that we've had to see this and go through this. But what Abraham had here, he had vision. And without it, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We too, as Christians, to be a survivor, we must have vision. We must be able to have understanding and see in the future and what the income will be. Or we can't survive. We won't survive. Scripture says, without vision, the people perish. Now, why do they perish? They have nothing to look forward to. And with so much of a vast majority of the Israelitish Ephraim, Manasseh people. They live for today. They live for today. What they can get today, they don't think about the future. And they don't think about, you know, and all of these, we talked a little bit earlier about that, all of this borrowing, who's going to pay it back? Somebody has to pay it back. I'm sorry. We owe, it has to be paid back. But we have to have vision. And we need that kind of vision to think about what Abraham saw, to think about what we talk about, the anticipation. And to me, it is inspiring and awing, the anticipation of being part of the restoring of God's government, God's law, that is so good for us. And it's good for us. So, you know, I think about that, and I really want to be a part of that and to, in the restoration of God's government and God's way of life on this earth. And we are going to be a part of it. We desire this time of world peace, peace in our lives. And I said, many, many years ago, when difficulties were arising, that all I want is a little peace in my life. You know, I've had everything but peace in my life, you know, you might say. But we learn from that. And there is coming a time, and God promises that, that we will have peace in our lives. So the vision that, that keeps me going on is what Abraham had, the new heaven and new earth, and the things that God has promised to us. Fantastic, the new heaven and new earth. Very inspiring. And we'll get to, I'll just go right on to Revelation 21, and we'll get into some of that in Revelation 21. The Holy City, New Jerusalem. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2 of Revelation 21. And this is what the vision that we look to, the vision that keeps us going on. And certainly this period of time, the physical will be destroyed. It's after the 1,000-year period, after the 100-year period. No humans will remain alive. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more physical people. It all changes. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So we go into a new phase. The bride of Christ, inhabitants of this earth that are changed. Certainly when you think about the bride adorned, it's God's gift to Jesus Christ. And God will join, verse 3, Christ ruling the universe from that location. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God the Father himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, no human being has been able to see God the Father. At this time, God the Father is coming down, and we'll be able to be there with God the Father and be a part of the very family of God. Certainly a wonderful picture. A time that all is united, finally. We talk about it. That's our vision. That's our hope. That's what keeps us going on. You know, we could become very discouraged and say, what's the use? You know, where's God in all this? And but we see a time that there is coming unity and harmony and peace and love to this earth. And it's coming with God the Father and Jesus Christ going to be our husband. That's what keeps us going. It's one of vision. One of the most inspiring scriptures describes that there be no more death. Certainly a wonderful thing in the plan of God. And this is what Paul said of that in Romans 11:13. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. You know, we see in part, we understand in part, we talk about a lot of things, and his ways past finding out. As human beings, we live in a world that is subject to boundaries and rules and regulations, and they were created by God for the benefit of mankind. As Paul states here, we have not attained the fullness of Jesus Christ. We haven't risen up to the fullness of Christ. When we understand the fullness of Christ and that Christ is love, we understand that love has no boundaries. It doesn't need to have any. Love has no rules and love has no regulations, and we'll measure up to that fullness. We understand that love is not arrogant, it's not self-centered, and it doesn't need control. When we have that full love, it doesn't need to be controlled. With that kind of love, everything else will fall in place. Everything else will fall in place. Christ promised that all things would be new. He promises us eternal life, an opportunity to those that come to that point in their life. Unfortunately, some won't. Some will reject and won't be a part of the wonderful kingdom of God. Let's go down to verse 11 through 14 of Revelation 21. 11 through 14, having the glory of God and their light was likened to the stone of most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it's describing the kingdom. It's describing this great place, this glory of God, and the temple coming down. And you can go through those, and as I did, and looked into the dictionary and the wonderful things that God has created for His people, those that will be changed. It goes down into 17 through 19 and describes how large this city is. And you know, as you think about this city and God created it for us, for an habitation, and how, you know, you look those things up and read it and how big the city is. This city is actually a city of love. That's what it is. It's a city of love. And verse 21 tells us, verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. So, a miracle there. I don't think I've seen an oyster that would be quite that large. But a miracle that God will create. And He does it for us and all mankind that has been changed and in the very family of God. So, certainly a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 22, and the city has no need of sun, neither moon or shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So we're going to be a part of that. Our glory will be shining as well, and beaming out and going from there. And God is preparing His future family now. You know, we've got to get through this mess. And you've heard me say from time to time that we need to encourage one another, no matter what happens, that we've got to get through this. And we've got to do it together. You know, we just can't, you know, Dad used to say, well, things get bad, I'll just go up in a holler somewhere and that's where I'll stay. Well, it's not like that. You know, it's just simply not like that. And we're going to have to learn how to get along and together and work together and be able to do those things. So, let's get back to Revelation 3. I'll be quiet, Patty. Revelation 3, I think Patty's preaching to her husband. But, you know, we have to have that vision. And, you know, that's... The important thing in our lives as Christians, we have to be focused on the future. And like I said, you know, we're going to have to go through an awful lot, and I don't think we've seen anything yet. And so we got to be prepared for that. Revelation 3, verse 11 and verse 12 of Revelation 3. Beginning in verse 11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which you have, that no individual take your crown. Now, I can remember we had a minister many, many years ago. He said, you know, it's up to you. You know, you have a crown on your head. God's promised that. He's given us and earned us a down payment of His Holy Spirit. And we have a crown on our head, and that's, you know, payment of the kingdom of God. He said, you can take that crown off and leave it on the chair if you want. Somebody else will come along and put it on his head. So it's up to us, you know, what we do in our life. And don't let anybody take it from you. I don't care who it is. You know what the Scriptures say. You live what the Scripture says. It said, don't let no man take it. He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in a temple of my God. Now, do we realize the importance, and I'll get this wrapped up soon, but you realize what the importance is of being a pillar in the temple of God. What's a pillar? What is a pillar?
Structural element.
You're an architect. You know how important they are. That holds up the whole thing. You know, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, being the foundation, and then we are there to hold up the structure. That's a very, very important sermons can be given on that one turn there. That we are going to be a part of the very temple of God holding up, if you please. A pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Of course, there are going to be individuals staying there in the temple. I think that is for the first fruits. That will be there. And I will write upon him the name of my God, complete trust, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he goes on to say in verse 13, he said, you know, if you got an ear, hear it, listen to it, and understand it. This is our future. This is our vision of what God is going to do for us. The wonderful reward in the kingdom of God. That's what we live for. That's why we're here. That's why we're not out working on the job today. We're here to honor and respect and give glory to God. And say, please don't forget it. We're here striving to be a part of His family. Revelation 22. We'll jump back over and all. But I think you get the gist of what we're talking about in vision, what we want to do, what we want to become, where we want to be. We can't let all these problems overtake us, you know, as a thief in the night. We have to be aware. You know, I spoke, I don't know about being a watchman, I think I did here. But anyway, we have to watch these things. We have to learn from them. And we have to talk about them. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life which bears 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now, just because we're changed in spirit being doesn't mean that everything's hunky-dory and everything's done. I think there's going to have to be a lot of emotional healing and a lot of scars that have to be healed, even after we're a spirit being. Things that are in our minds that have to be pulled out and healed. And I think this is a healing that's going to go on during that period of time. So we're going to go through a lot. We're going to see a lot. And no matter what, we have to maintain this vision. Verse 8 and verse 9 of Revelation 22. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. It was so awesome. And we have to keep that vision in our minds that motivates us to keep the faith no matter what. We have to keep that. And verse 9, then said he unto me, see that you do not, for I am your fellow servant and of the brethren of the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And that's what we must do, is worship God. 2 Peter 3. We'll stop there. and 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. And we'll just read two scriptures here. God has given us this precious knowledge, and it is precious. And this is the hope that we have in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that these promises are sure. 2 Peter 3. Let's go to verse 10. Just read verse 10 and verse 14. Verse 10. But the day of the eternal will come as a thief in the night. It's going to happen, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall burn up. These things are going to happen. In verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that is, zealous, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot. And this gives us peace in our lives. You know, we could be like so many. And when you look back at the Great Depression, and it talked about those that had money, they just lost it. They jumped out windows, and they're talking now about definitely there is a big depression going to happen. Just heard it this morning. If things don't change, they couldn't handle it. The others were out begging, you know, trying to stay alive with bits and pieces that were out begging. Without spot. So it means that we are to be and maintain a relationship with God and blameless. So that's what we have to do. We have to keep on going on. And so to this effect, this is why Abraham was motivated. This is why God said, change, move. Abraham said, okay, I'm out of here. You know, my wife wants to move a piece of furniture. I have a hissy fit. You know, I don't like to see things. I don't like things moved. I like it the way it is, the way it is. But Abraham, you know, he had vision. He said, okay, God, I'm up and out of here, because he could see the future and what it would be like down the road. He had vision. That's what we have to have. God wants us to have this vision. He wants us to see the reward. You know, we do things and we get repaid for doing those things. Hopefully the good things, the good reward. If it's the bad things, we get the bad reward. But we can live for it because we can see it. It's going to happen. And that's our vision, no matter what happens, that motivates us to go on to perfection, to live up to the stature of Jesus Christ, which he was full of love. And that's the way Christ was. He was full of love. Awaiting, and we are awaiting the realization of the greatest vision to mankind. And it is. When we can see and understand what's going on here, it's the greatest vision to mankind. God coming down with New Jerusalem. And we're going to be a part of the very family of God. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem awaits God's chosen people.